Podtacular Episode 9, September 18th, 2005.
Podtacular.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Podtacular. This is Fumo Jive.
And this is Desidus.
Desidus is our co-host for today's show. Welcome, man.
How you doing? It's good to be here.
Well, it's good to have you, man. It's awesome to you that you could do this. And looking forward to a good show. We got an action-packed full show for you today, guys. Lots of information. And you guys had a lot to say about this map of the week, let me tell you.
22 pages worth of lots to say.
Many people had an entire 8.5x11, document full of information.
At least.
So it was packed. But that's a good thing. So we got a lot of information for you guys, lots of stuff to go over. So let's start out with some news and announcements here.
Hey! It's time for the news.
First thing is that Spellcheck finally has his own gamer tag. Yay!
Everybody give him some major props on that one.
Finally, his brother has a separate one, and he has his own. And guess what his gamer tag is? Spellcheck. Wow.
Wow. That is so original.
It is. So it's Spellcheck, and I think he needs to use Spellcheck on his own name.
And if I recall, he sent out a spam to everyone that was on the Slurpee account, informing them of the change. So.
Yep. So if you want to send him a friends request and get in before he has a full friends list, if he doesn't already, then feel free.
He's a popular fellow, that Spellcheck.
He is. So if it's full, don't be mad or something. And don't, please don't send either him or I like clan messages that say, hey, can you drop someone off your friends list to put me on there? Because the thing is, I've done that a bunch of times already, and it's gotten to the point where I don't have anyone that I want to drop off my friends list anymore. So please be courteous in that respect. Thank you.
There you go.
What else? We got some clan issues, right?
That's what I hear.
First thing I see here is that if you haven't got an invite to the clan, by the time you hear this message, we will have a post on the website on podtacular.com saying that if you haven't already got an invite to one of the clans and you're trying to get one, just post in the comments to this message, and we will get you an invite. We've had a few hiccups on our clan inviting process, but we're getting that worked out, guys. And we want you if you qualify to be in one of the clans, because want more people in the clans. It's fun.
Exactly.
So post in the comments in there, and we'll get you an invite. Just speaking of clans and as far as like the requirements for those. Tell you those real quick. First of all, you have to be a level 15 in either big team battle or team skirmish. Some people are kind of ticked about this because we supposedly sprung it at the last minute, but really it's the thing is the number next to your name on the clan list is actually the highest level between big team battle and team skirmish. It's not your highest level altogether. So people were getting kicked because they were below level 15. And so you have to be one of those two, be level 15 or above.
It's really not that hard to get yourself up to 15 if you're like a 25, say in Team Slayer.
Exactly. Just team up with somebody that's good and get in there and level up. Another thing is no cheating, of course.
Yes.
That should be obvious, but another thing also is no deranking. No deranking in our clans. If anybody finds out you're deranking in any kind of game that they play with you, then that is totally grounds for being kicked out of the clan. I hate to start off this on such a negative note, but it's just that, this has been happening, guys, for those of you that have been above board, and we got to mention it for those that haven't.
Why would you want to do that? I don't understand.
I cheating is one thing, but deranking is beyond my comprehension.
Well, I can understand just hurting yourself, maybe deranking in Rumble Pit or something, but, ruining it for your team, too? Way to go, guys.
Yeah, thanks. You're just ruining it for all the other seven people that are on your team.
Exactly.
Well, the big team anyway. But
yep.
So no deranking. Another thing is, guys, we don't like racist comments. Even if it's
those are not fun.
Even if you're calling like a white person a nigger, I don't like that. Okay,
not
some cool. of you guys think, well, you know, I don't know what your logic is behind it, but I don't think it's very cool. Another
it's
thing
just
is
not a joke.
It's not. Another thing is, we don't like the sexual comments. It's because it just, guys, it gets old, and anyway, don't like it. And the last thing is, no constantly cursing. And many of you have said, you know, have misunderstood me on this. I don't mind like a curse word now and then. I understand it. It's an emphasis. It's a way to emphasize something.
Yeah, if you get shot in the head, you know, and you're walking along, doing your thing, sniped in the head, and you yell shit, that's okay.
Yeah, I mean, I understand. But if it's like you're constantly, you know, your mom this, and insulting people constantly with cuss words, and over and over and over, and it gets old, guys. So anyway, beyond that, those are the requirements for the clan. Hopefully I didn't miss something. And beyond that negative note, let's get to some more less negative stuff.
Yeah, if we haven't lost our viewers already, then come on back for the fun stuff.
Exactly.
Viewers, yeah. What am I talking
viewers.
About?
So you're watching the audio right now as well as listening.
Yeah. I love waveforms.
Yeah. Okay, so in other news, did you get a t-shirt out of this?
No, I didn't, but I had given $25 to the Red Cross before that came out.
Well, cool
so
deal.
I felt kind of like, oh, I don't get a shirt.
That's fine. That's even better, right? But
I hope so.
Well, yeah. But yeah, dude, I got a t-shirt the other day. Those things are awesome. We were talking about the ones that they made at Bungie.net, the ones that say Fight the Flood, Halo Fans for Hurricane Relief, and they're great t-shirts. And you get them for like $15, and I think like 10 of it goes to the Red Cross for helping Hurricane Relief. And these people need ongoing help, guys. And you know,
it's terrible.
I know you've heard this from a million places and all, but this is not something that just goes away once the floodwaters recede, because people lost their cars, their homes, and their jobs, and sometimes their families.
Yeah.
So if you haven't got a t-shirt, man, check it out. It's a pretty cool t-shirt. So,
well, I mean, not only do you get to feel good, you get to look awesome.
For real. What else we got here?
We have a clan tournament. I think we skipped that.
Oh, we do.
Yes.
Looks like Scotty is going to be setting that up, guys. Scotty Sewell. He is going to be setting up our clan tournament. It's going to be, you can sign up for it in the forums. Hey, even if you play for fun and you're not into the super competitive stuff, go join the tournament. It'll be fun, you know? It's coming up on the 23rd. It's 7 p.m. Eastern time is when it's going to start. We're going to have, you know, teams from all four clans. And, you know, sign up so we can get lots of people in reserve, too, so we can get a whole bunch of people playing. And this will give bragging rights to the leading clan among Pod Tactor. We have four clans. So who's going to come out on top?
Oh, speaking of which, I'd like to add a little something in here. I was in Pod Tactor 1, and I jumped ship based on one spam I got from a few of the higher-ranked members of Pod Tactor, who decided that since they ranked up, it was okay to send us a message saying, you're all garbage. I was like, wow, that's great teamwork, guys. See you later. So that's just, I mean, being good is one thing, and, you know, you can brag about it, but don't put everyone else down. That's just not nice.
Yeah, for real. Let's see here. What else?
Other than that, everybody in the Podtacular clans is are normally fantastic people.
No kidding. Yeah, man, we got a lot of competition going on between our clans now.
Oh, big time.
Yeah. Everybody's... And for those of you that are not represented on the actual show, when me and Spellcheck and Desus and all of us start, you know, talking crap about which one's the best clan, sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
Way it goes, man. We can't have 47 people talking at the same time here. So.
Well, we could, but it just wouldn't be fun.
Yeah, I've heard those podcasts, and I turn them off pretty quick.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah, everybody's constantly talking at the same time. So, boy, we got a bunch of news and announcements here. Keyboard Killer wrote in and asked why we are so mean to British people. And I wanted the same thing. I don't understand this word.
Leftover sentiments from the Revolutionary War?
I guess.
I have no idea.
Oh, yeah, I remember back in the Revolutionary War, man.
I was so mad at the British people,
and it just carries over to today, you know?
I know. Taxation without representation.
I know. I was so mad about that.
Yeah, I still, to this day, I wake up at night screaming it, and I don't know why.
Yeah, I hear you sometimes.
Oh, my. But yeah, they're very articulate, great people. You know, they are essentially your only ally in the current war. So these people are very supportive of how America works. So why be so mean?
I don't understand it. They're super nice people, and you know they don't deserve to get such a bad rap on Ila too. It's gonna
work. No, I know. Just because they talk different.
It's true. It's true. Well, guys, we also have a PayPal button on the site now, and the reason for that is there are costs associated with this show. And
money.
We would appreciate it if you like the show, you enjoy listening to it, you get a lot out of it. Just buy me a beer or something, you know? Give me a
Excellent.
Buck or two.
And, we'll work for booze.
Yeah, really. I mean, it would be nice if the show could kind of support itself on that, and I don't have to pay for all the stuff out of pocket. So
you know, perhaps it would be a good idea to let the listeners know how much this actually costs you. Because it's kind of hard for them to get behind something. Or at least a round figure, of course. I don't want
you
to
go away. It costs me $10 a month for hosting, which isn't a lot. But, you know, we also have occasional things we have to buy, equipment and stuff like that. So.
Oh, exactly. Exactly.
You know, it racks up, guys. So just, you know, a couple bucks, you know, to help a brother out.
If everybody gave $1, you'd be so far ahead. You know?
Yeah.
What's a buck?
What's a book? Indeed. So, got a couple other things here, it looks like. Man, we got a lot of news here.
Yeah, big time. Big time. Would you like to continue with the few we missed on news and announcements?
Yeah. I got this funny one here, dude. There's this funny one. Spellcheck was listening to the voicemails. And there's a couple of people that have called into the voicemail number. You know, we have a... one of these free voicemail deals that just you call it in, leave a voicemail, and then we get it on an MP3 file, right?
Oh,
so
okay.
Like, so people call into the voicemail and they're like, "Hello, hello, spell check. If you're there, pick up the phone."
Oh my lord!
They're like, "Hello, are you not there? Okay. Oh, never mind. Okay, bye." And it's like, our voicemail is not connected to our cell phone, guys.
Yeah, that's. How could they ever make that assumption? It said from day one, voicemail.
I'm not quite sure. I don't know where the leap in logic is there, but it's a big one.
Certainly.
Well, I think that's all we have that's big time on our news. We have one more thing here. We have new clan staff, Liquid Enforcer and Paradox are going to be on our web team here. In fact, they are on our web team and doing a great job. We're working on... that new site, guys, is coming along slowly but surely, and we will get it up with a lot of new features, a lot of cool stuff on there.
It's going to be great.
Contactor.com. Okay, so on to some web resources. Why don't you start us out? Because since I did all the news, sorry.
Well, that's quite all right. We've got the Halo 2 coloring book. I'm unsure as to what this is about. But it has a rather long URL attached to it, so I guess we'll have that in the show notes for you.
But, definitely will.
I mean, how much more fun could you have on a Friday night with no friends than a Halo 2 coloring book?
That's right, man. Friday night is Halo 2 coloring book night in my house.
Same here. It's just all I do.
Well, there's also a really cool Sticky Style video we saw on HBO. If you guys have seen the first Sticky Style video, there was a Sticky Style 2, the sequel, Judgment Day, on HBO.
Okay.
So halo.bungie.org, you can look it up in the news. It's probably the most in some of the recent news you can find there, or just check back in the archives. And it's just, I just mentioned this because they have the most amazing, very long range sticks with plasma grenades that you've ever seen. It just blows my mind that he could even do it.
Now, are they setting them up like that, or is it just things that he makes happen in matchmaking?
Well, it's in the single-player game, so which is crazy.
Oh, that's even crazier.
Yeah, because they're actually, you know, they're at very long distances and they're moving, and he'll throw a grenade and then zoom in with a sniper rifle. He'll have to zoom in 10 times just to see it stick, because they're way far away. It's so cool. And then, you know, there's a bunch of close-range stuff, too, but yeah, guys, check it out. It's pretty neat. What else we got?
We have Spreadshirt site for Halo fan.
Yeah,
again,
this guy,
you'll have to inform me here.
Okay, yeah, I don't describe these things very well, I guess. This dude set up this Spreadshirt site, which I guess is a, you know, site where you can upload graphics and make T-shirts. And he can actually make some he makes some custom graphics based on people's gamertag insignias. Within Halo 2, and a couple other things. He has some pretty cool shirts on there for Halo fans if you want to check that out. We'll have that in the show notes.
Excellent.
And let's see, we have a couple custom game locations, right, where people can get those?
Yep, big time.
Yeah, we got Halo2Customs.com is one of them, and Halo2GameTypes.com is another, and we'll have one or two more URLs for you guys that are some good places to find those if you want to pick up some cool custom games. It's kind of fun to play with, you know, a couple people, not have things that are, you know, super competitive all the time. So it's a good distraction.
Makes sense to me.
And we've asked for it in the post, in the comment for the post, and everything on PodTiger.com. There is now a Master Chief Confabulator widget for those of you that even know what that is. It's similar to it's basically like his little things that show up on your screen with this program called Confabulator. And there's this Master Chief one that's on confabulator.com that it's like it's just a big Master Chief action figure kind of thing that shows up on your screen, and you click him and he randomly says different quotes from Halo 2, which is kind of stupid, but still kind of
that's amazing.
Fun to mess with.
And the real big thing here is it's a Confabulator widget, which allows all Windows users and any Mac users that that come before Tiger to actually use these things. So
right.
It's great.
Okay, well, on to some general tips here.
I'm sorry, but did you just ask for...
Help! Help me!
It's time for this week's tips.
What do we got first?
We have Jedi Knight 101, and he sends us, here's a tip that really helps me. If you're playing any type of game on a map with a teleporter, you can jump through the teleporter, which I thought was kind of obvious, but then I realized what he meant. He means while you're moving, jump through it. And apparently that propels you through there, so if they're waiting behind it for you to smack you in the back, they can't get you.
That's pretty awesome.
So, yeah, it made sense to me.
Good tip. Fulkin sends one in as well, and he talks about the noob combo defense trick. I don't know if we already mentioned this or not, but when someone has a noob combo and they are firing the plasma pistol bolt at you, when you have two weapons wielded, you can deflect the plasma pistol overcharge by meleeing and dropping your second weapon at the energy ball before it gets to you. And I've seen this work in videos, guys, and it definitely works. You just gotta get it down right to where you throw it at just the right time, and you can get rid of that plasma pistol bolt at least, if not the battle rifle, you know, fire shots coming in at you.
Wow, that's a great tip.
Pretty sweet. Well, we got a big guide here, don't we?
Huge guide.
We finally have some in-depth sniping information for you guys. And
it's just great. This guy obviously put a lot of time into this, and we, you know, really appreciate it, and hope you do as well.
Definitely, definitely. So this comes from Devin Daniels, and this is the sniping guide, and it's pretty long, so hang in there, and hopefully this will help you guys get better at sniping. I know I need it, because I suck at sniping.
That's okay. We still love you.
Well, thanks. You can go up behind a sniper and melee him in the back.
That's my favorite thing in the world, probably.
Okay, so why don't we just go back and forth on this?
Sounds good.
Okay, section one, sniping. This is purely what you can do with both snipers. Devin says that he feels that sniping is an important part of the Halo series, so you need to get as good as you can with it. So part one is...
That leads us into patience. Patience. And you get what I'm saying. If you cannot wait, you cannot kill. If you rush into a shot... Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying.
Oh,
patience,
okay.
Patience. Anyway, go ahead.
It's typed out four times, but I thought six was a better way to say it.
Yeah, you got to emphasize
it. Okay. Well, you have to. It's just the way it is. Okay. If you rush into a shot, you might miss, be spotted, and or targeted. The appropriate time to rush a shot is when facing another sniper. Makes sense to me. If he's turned away from you, take the time to set up the shot. But if he's facing you, that's when you have to start to duck, jump, zigzag, do all that stuff that drives me nuts when I'm trying to kill someone.
Well, like a butterfly, sting like a bee?
Exactly. But always keep it up there for the headshot, because you don't want him to know where you are.
Yeah.
But don't shoot until you're sure you've got him. He emphasizes that.
Yeah, because then you waste ammo, you have to reload, all that stuff.
Exactly.
And you show the contrail as well.
Exactly.
So part two is headshots here. And you will hear this everywhere, he'll say it too, is that headshots are the most important thing you can do in Halo. Apart from saving your ammo, it may also save your life. People usually don't have a chance even if you're getting body shots, but two flashes or trails are actually pretty easy to spot. A single one is much harder to spot. Another sniper will have a much harder time tracking you if one contrail than two. Halo headshots are easier. Halo 2 headshots are easier than Halo headshots, and that's probably because auto aim, I would think.
Yeah, I've seen a great video that completely shows you how much it's changed, and I was a non-believer until I saw that.
Hmm. Oh, cool.
I'll see if I can find it, and maybe I'll put it up in the show notes.
Yeah, man, dig that up. That'd be awesome. Let's see. And he goes on to say, now, when and how to pull one off. One thing, elites are easier to get from the front than the back, because the head is hunchback style, so there's a little poking up from its back. On the other hand,
huge.
Yeah, no kidding. On the other hand, from the front, you have a clear shot. So what do? Wait for your target to face you, and then blow his head off. A Spartan, on the other hand, is equally showing his head from the front and the back. So in the case of a Spartan, take time to shoot, and shoot whenever ready.
There you go. Now, part three is moving. Do not camp. Apart from grenades being able to find you pretty easily, you also have a problem with other snipers. If they figure they can take their time on you, you will be most likely taken out without much problem. Move, move, move. He is all about the move.
Move, move, move.
Regardless, that's a song from somewhere, I don't know.
Had to get six in there.
Yeah. Six is the key number today. Regardless if you missed or hit, move. The flash will attract attention. If you miss, zigzag, duck, jump. Again, that drives me nuts when I'm trying to kill people. I don't understand how somebody can shoot back at me well when they're doing that, but I don't know. Maybe I just suck. Then get out of there real quick. You know, it all seems obvious, but, you know, there's plenty of tips I get from the podcast, and I'm like, why didn't I think of that? It's so obvious, and it helps immensely. If you killed him, move to a different spot and resume your dirty work. I can't tell you this enough. Unless you have a death wish, you will be taken out and your teammates will be out for your blood. Those are some disloyal teammates.
Yeah, really. Okay, part four is be original, and this is brought to you by the number six. don't go too well. Okay, am I missing something here? Don't go into well-known... Aha, that makes sense. Don't go into well-known sniper spots like the fort on Ascension, the tower on Coagulation, and the roof on Zanzibar. Move, create, and adapt. If they found your favorite hiding spot, then it's not a hiding spot anymore, and you're in trouble. Not because you have no place to snipe from, but because you, of course, allowed yourself to have a favorite spot, and that's suicide. Go somewhere unexpected. And somewhere people think it's suicide to snipe from, so they don't check there. For example, stand on a hill in Coagulation instead of going into the caves. This is something somebody else mentioned as well, is sometimes sniping from out in the open is better, just because they don't expect you to snipe from there. But
exactly. Sometimes the best way to hide is in plain sight.
But of course, it's obvious that once you fire from there, you're in a little bit of trouble because you're out in the open, you don't have any cover, and they know where you are.
Yeah.
And what's
exactly.
next?
Exactly. Moving on to section number two, the sniper rifle. I guess this gets really in-depth and enough of itself.
I think we had part five.
Part five, and I completely passed it. Part five, sniper to sniper. Many people have this problem. I had this problem the first 2 weeks the game was out. The way to overcome this problem is to snipe on every game. That, again, one of those obvious things that, you know, you do need practice. I play with people a lot. Say, well, I suck at sniping. Well, it's because you never do. You're not going to get any better unless you do it.
Sure.
He recommends that you make some custom games where it's only snipers, and this will raise your ability to kill another sniper considerably. If you're looking for specific tips, I guess I'll help you out there as well. Get him in the body, not the head. Now, this kind of contradicts the last one, but I'm sure it'll make sense in a moment. This is the only time I'll tell you to do this. There you go. Because if you're hit, you still have your general aim. Two quick body shots and take him out. Don't let him take you out. Duck, zigzag, circle around, jump. Yes, actually jump and run diagonally. Be unpredictable.
Good call. Well, let's save section two for the next episode because this is really long, which is good, but it's, you know, we gotta cut a little bit of time here. Looks like Neil Googe, wow, that's quite a name.
Yeah.
Neil Googe says, he sends in about sniper training. He says that a good way to train for sniping is at home with no connection, or, you know, however you want to do it in a custom game. You need two controllers and some tape. This I thought was the neatest way to really set up some decent sniper training. Set up a system link game pretty much wherever you want. He finds coagulation is the best for this. Take player 2's controller and tape the left thumbstick slightly forward and the right thumbstick slightly left or right. And player 2 will now permanently run around the screen in large circles, rarely getting stuck in one place. And of course, you know, snipe it.
Yeah, I think it goes without saying, but I'll mention it anyways. You, of course, would want a very large map, very large open map for this kind of a thing.
Right.
And it also comes in handy if you have no friends, like me.
No kidding.
Exactly.
Well, there's other ways for sniper training, too, guys. A lot of people have talked about throwing a frag grenade up in the air as high as you can and then sniping the grenade out of the air, which is good for hitting a small target, but the only problem is the grenade doesn't zigzag back and forth or anything. It's pretty predictable.
Sure thing. Now, next up, Field of Thunder. And there's a powerful name.
That's a cool name. I feel it.
Me too, and I'm really far away. Apparently, your color can be your camo. Now, I find this is very true, although I use a color that is camo in no level I ever play, but, you know, that's beside the point. He says that tan and steel are two good options to use for your color, since most maps, it blends in well with your armor. This may not seem important, but it really is when people make a quick glance at your position and they mistake you for a rock on Ascension instead of sniping you because you are white as a ghost, which is the color I use.
You know, that's the color I use too, and I kind of thought it went cool with my logo, so I figured I'd just be white, even if it does mess me all up. But
yeah, correct me if I'm wrong, but the colors of your logo also define the colors of your character, right?
Well, I think there's four colors that you can set. You can set your main color and then your secondary color for like the highlights on your armor, and then you set the two colors for your logo. So those actually all tie into the colors on your logo because it goes by all four of those depending on the different parts of the logo. So, you know, that also, of course, affects your armor as well.
Yeah.
But anyway.
So if you don't mind an ugly logo, it's a great thing to do.
Or ugly armor, if you think tan is ugly or steel is ugly. Actually, I think tan and steel are cool. It's just, I don't know, I'm crazy like that.
I like the white. I don't know what it is.
Something
not
about
anything
the white.
Wrong with that.
Right, Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see here. He also mentions making the enemy believe a lie, known as deception, and we've probably brought this up before. This is pretty cool. On assault or CTF variants and stuff, probably mainly on assault, you can pretend to be the other team by yelling, there's a blue in front of the base or something like that in the barrel and mounds base or something else where when your bomber is sneaking in, the proximity voice will make them think possibly that it's someone on their team saying that. So they'll jump out in front, and then your bomber can run right up.
Exactly. Here's my favorite. Oh, man, I just ran out of rockets. But
yeah,
you really didn't.
That's a good one. I didn't think of that.
So there
All
you
right.
go.
What else we got here?
Another tactic is to throw a grenade to make the enemy believe your location is somewhere else and then assassinating him or killing him in some other way while he's looking for your position. Obviously, you're going to have to waste a grenade on this one, but it makes sense. You can certainly, I think they call them diversionary tactics.
Okay.
Something like that. So there you go. If you get what I'm saying on that one, then give it a shot.
Makes sense. Talks about active camouflage as well. Some players get camo and then run out on the bright white snow and containment, prancing around like they're totally not seen. I don't know about prancing around. I don't prance around.
Well, I like to think I don't, but maybe others have a different opinion.
Hopefully my walking style in Halo 2 is not considered prancing around, but...
I think that only happens when you use the purple as your primary color.
Or the pink.
Well, not, yeah, more or less.
Okay, actually he says you may even be seen more than without it. And why is this? It's because you're in the light, and the clearness of the camo and the light kind of make you appear to be this bright figure walking along. That's why on maps like this, in areas of maps like this, camo is not the best in these spots compared to how hidden you are in the shadows of Warlock. And from this comparison, he learned that if you throw a bunch of grenades or shoot a bunch of rockets into a corner somewhere and stay where the shots hit, then you're more hidden because it's darker, like in shadows. So once you, blow a bunch of black soot onto the walls and hide over there, you're more hidden.
Oh, that whole thing was worth it for that, because that's a really interesting tip.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what do we have next here?
Well, it's time for everybody's favorite part of the show, the newbie tips.
Yep. For all you noobs out there, we do have some stuff for you, just getting started. We've all been there, except me, because I was born a level 30.
He actually had a controller in his hand when he came out of the womb. It was amazing.
Firefly writes that he's been in a bunch of shotgun CTF matches and noticed that newbies don't know about shotgun blast to immediate melee attack. In other words, blast them with the shotgun and melee right after in case your shotgun blast doesn't kill them.
It's pretty much a guaranteed kill.
Definitely. And sometimes
I can tell.
The shotgun blast is the way the damage is assigned on that is random. So sometimes I've found that even a point blank will not kill someone. So the melee right after.
Yeah, you really got to have it right on to get kills every time.
Exactly.
So.
All right.
Okay. Now we're coming up to a gentleman by the name of Thane Luke. And this tip, it's very valuable. You cannot forget it. It's essential to your Halo 2 play.
Ready?
Don't shoot anything that has an icon over its head.
Right. And on the converse of that, shoot everything that doesn't have an icon over its head.
There you go. And that's your key to victory. You'll be a 40 in like 20 minutes.
Yeah. I know. I'm going to stop right now and just play that. That way.
That's a good idea.
Just use that one tip, and I'll be with the halo over my head anytime now.
You're awesome.
Right. Anyway. I'm number Q. Says, I don't know what number Q is, but...
Q isn't a number, though. That's not even right.
Yeah, dude. Change your name.
Because we said so.
Must be some kind of inside joke.
Yeah.
When you spawn, go to the top tower or someplace where you can see a lot of the map and wait until someone has fired a shot. Then follow the trail of smoke or plasma and snipe the person who fired it before the other guy does. So follow the contrail to where these guys are. This works on the BR and on the sniper rifle.
And ideally, you're going to want to have a sniper rifle before trying that.
True, yeah, to be able to hit them back. And for those of you that don't know what a BR is, if you're a noob, you might not. It's a battle rifle.
Yes, they are the best weapon in the game, in my opinion, because I annoy people with them constantly.
They're super flexible, short range, mid range, long range.
Exactly.
If you know how to use them, you can use for almost all three.
Those and a few... frag grenades, just as good as a noob combo if you know what you're doing.
Yeah, definitely. No kidding. Okay, what's next?
We're on to the Moonite, as I believe how you pronounce it. Noob should listen to Podtacular.
Why, thank you.
If they don't, and they get good out of a miracle, they're old B newbies.
Huh.
That's a new term by me, so
old
B newbies. I don't understand.
I think it's the old as opposed to new, and I don't understand the whole thing, but
maybe
yeah.
It's because we're old. We don't understand it anymore.
Yeah, we're too old for this.
That's not fun. Okay, without Podtacular, you are not good. It is a fact of life.
Wow. You heard it from the Moon Eye first.
Yeah. I mean, we would like to say it, but he beat us to it.
He did. Okay, well, on to, let's see. We're just going to skip Big Team Tips for Map of the Week this week, because we have so much Map of the Week stuff to cover for you guys. It's lots.
It blows my mind that how new this map is to probably the majority of people, because I didn't pay for it. I paid for the last one, but then I'm like, we'll get a few weeks before it even ends up in matchmaking, so it's not a big deal. But there's probably more on this than there has been before.
Yeah, it definitely
and
as far as like the amount of information people write is the most ever.
So.
All right. So first one we got is from Lemon. Love that name. Lemon. Lemon says.
So I want you to read the whole caption and with that accent.
Hey guys, I have a nice deal for Relic. I'm so horrible at that. Okay, I'm just going to stop there right now.
I thought it was great.
Great in the funny way, and like a make fun of Boomer Chive way. Okay. So Lemon says, it's nicer for Relic since snipers own this map, and that's probably why where the majority of these tips come in is, and that's why this is the sniper episode. Once you have the sniper, get on the base near the tip where the flag is, and there should be some dividers that you can jump onto. If you jump onto the one farthest toward the tip of the base, right under the giant tower that lights up when you open the teleporter, you can see the whole back of the base and the entire beach. And this is useful because nobody ever looks up there, if you stay in the shadows, that is. And you can hit people charging your base or spawning on the beach. And this tactic is especially good for one flag assault or CTF if you're defending, even though there's a limited view. So thanks, Lamone, for that.
There you go. Except that now everyone's going to look up there, but that's okay.
Yeah, those of us who listen to this podcast will be looking up there.
Exactly. It is a decent place to hide. There's quite a bit of shadow there, but you are rather vulnerable, so make sure you have something that's got good long range up there.
And an escape plan.
Yeah, exactly. Run.
Good
plan. Broken Levi. Yeah.
That's a good newbie tip right there.
Yeah, run. Don't drink the water. Okay. Broken Leviathan says, when held down by a snipe-happy team, the best response is to man the ghost and warhog. Of course, it's a lot harder to snipe you if you're moving quick. You can drive up either the backside of the mountain around the crashed dropship and say hello to anyone who manages the over instead of expecting only a frontal assault. Just make sure you have the rockets or your warthog may become a rolling triple kill. Well said, Broken Leviathan.
We all know how often that can happen, which sucks.
I just drove it off into the water the other day. I think I was playing with Spellcheck, actually, and I apologize profusely. I forgot.
And the water on this is like the water on Headlong. You fall into it and you die.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's kind of weird. You would think you'd be able to walk out on this, but I guess this is a gigantic mesa in the ocean there to where you just drops right off on the end.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, well, Rhino71289. That's
probably
a lot of numbers.
Fault. I wonder if it's a zip code or something.
Maybe it's a social security number.
Oh, wow, I'm totally identity thefting him.
Of course, maybe part of Rhino is part of the early numbers. I'm reading way too much into this.
Yeah. He's got to go.
Okay, he says, I'm going give you guys some assault and CTF tips. We know what you meant, but I just thought I'd say it the way you wrote it anyway.
I think it's better that way.
Yeah, it gives a little flavor, you know?
Yes.
If you're on defense, on assault, open the teleporter and have everybody go through except for one guy. He can go get the ghost and rockets and stop there, Warthog. All of your other players should just use whatever weapons they get to stop the bomb on the beach and keep it there. This can also surprise their sniper. It doesn't work too well on CTF, but it can sometimes be devastating.
There you go.
Devastating.
I love that word. favorite word, next to headshot in the old version of Unreal Tournament. That was one.
Oh, man, that was great. Headshot!
I actually still have that for Mac OS X, and it's such a blast to play.
Nice.
Something I was thinking we might want to add to the Map of the Week tips is perhaps what level you think these tips are likely to work against. Because as you move up in the ranks, strategies change significantly.
They do.
And it's not hard to see. So maybe that's something we can look into in the future, but other than that, it's going great. Mason C2K says, I thought I'd include some tips and tricks for this sweeps map. Well, thank you. You may already have some of these, but in case you don't, I'm writing them anyway. So I don't think we would double them up, so let's give them a go. Use a warthog to launch someone into the flag or assault spot. This, I've never been able to do it, but if you can, I can see this being a huge advantage.
Yeah, really?
This takes practice and lots of it. No kidding. One player stands at a certain spot on the offensive side of the rock. The teleporter is on, and another drives the warthog into him. That could work out very badly if it wasn't properly timed.
Exactly. Ouch.
This sends the player flying. Done properly, the player can land right on top of the flag assault spot on the relic base. This can be executed in as little as 20 seconds into the game/round. And the second tip from this gentleman is the teleporter doesn't have to be open to be used. Get on top of it and crouch jump. It works both sides of the teleporter.
Oh, that's crazy.
There you go. I don't really use the teleporter, but for someone who does, that's definitely an invaluable tip.
Yeah, apparently there's a couple problems with the teleporter in this map that allow it to be exploited in a couple different ways, which we'll get into.
Yeah.
And that's definitely, one of them there. So, okay, here's another tip from Zezima. He writes in saying that about a tip for Oddball Slayer and some others. He says to go straight for the rocket launcher, then go pick up the sword, and after that, go on top of the building underneath the main tower and get into the middle wall. You'll see a hallway on both sides of you. If you go far enough down the wall, a sniper cannot see you if they're looking from the direction of the crashed ship. Anyone that comes on one side of the halls, you can easily ambush. If they are mid-range, bombard them with a rocket or two. Close range, a sword, and far range, use a grenade to make them pay attention, to dodge it, and then take cover. A well-planted grenade will kill them or create a good enough smoke screen for you to find a hiding place. As they get nearer, you rocket them or slice them.
That's gotta hurt.
Ouch. It's like they have kind of a weird way of violence in Halo 2, how they splatter blood all over the place, and yet your armor stays completely intact.
Yeah, I don't know how the blood finds its way through, but it certainly does.
Maybe you have, like, blood exhausts or something.
Yeah. Just imagine if Master Chief blew apart whenever he got hit by a rocket, though.
It'd be like blood squirting everywhere.
That's what they look forward to in Halo 3. Master Chief blow aparts.
Enhancements.
Yeah.
Okay.
Something I get out of that tip that may have not seemed obvious is the smoke screening. That's something that I've had used against me several occasions, because all you have to do is wait for something to turn red, and if you have the sniper rifle, you can take people out through a smoke screen very easily, whether you're getting body shots or not, because it does not matter where the bullets are coming from, because you can't see. So that's a great... I find that actually works best on Sanctuary, but that's for another show. Falcon says, snipers... Actually, Falcon's got about a page here of stuff to read. Snipers on this map control the tide of the war. Be sure that you have a skilled trigger finger if you're going to be holding the sniper rifle and know the best locations to snipe from. Very good tip, because I don't know how many games I get into where someone gets the sniper and is terrible. I mean, if the first thing I do in a game is I ask, is anybody good with the sniper? If nobody says anything, I... nominated myself, but if somebody has, skills to say that they're good, by all means, they can have it.
I usually, if I'm around the sniper and nobody's taking it, I'll say, anybody want to snipe? Who's sniping? Anybody sniping? And if nobody answers me, I pick up the sniper and snipe, even though I suck. It's better than nobody sniping, and it's definitely better than them getting the sniper.
Oh, exactly. And don't run in and lose it to them.
No kidding.
That goes for every map. Yeah. Now, continuing with Falcon's novel here, sniping from the sniper tower and the rock formations at the Pelican are spots that are bound to have you looking at your corpse in no time. If you start on defense, it's a little difficult to get to the sniper and back to cover without taking some kind of fire from the other sniper or from some battle rifles. So to combat that, take the ghost that spawns at the back of the base. You will spawn there too, don't fret. And make haste for the beam rifle. Not only will this provide some cover, it will cut your commute in half, if not more. Some spots that he tries to get while sniping are the beach teleporter and at the back of the defense base. Every few kills or so, he tries to switch sniping spots, ties into some of our other tips, and he never stayed in the same place for too long. Now, the rest of his tips seem to apply to specific game types. He describes a tip for assault and CTF. There's a trick that you can do on this map for objective games where you can disable the teleports. It's not considered cheating, since neither you nor the other team can use them. It's just taking the teleports out of the picture. To do this trick, there must be multiple and timed rounds. When there are 10 seconds left in the round, get ready to hit the switch for the teleport. Once the round has ended and your screen has gone dark, hit the switch. At the end of the next round, the teleports will appear to be open, but they will not work. Wow.
Pretty cool.
You can walk right through them without teleporting. If you're the connection host, you will see no change. Okay, I don't really understand a lot of the stuff behind connection hosts, but maybe that'll be a topic for a future show.
Yeah, some people are really into whether or not they're the connection host. You know, I just play the game.
Exactly.
I can't change whether I'm the connection host, and it's not like I'm like the juggernaut if I'm the connection host. So
Yeah. Just
play, you know.
From what I hear, it's a slight advantage with the firing rate of your battle rifle.
Shotguns and stuff like that. But
exactly.
I don't know. I just play.
Exactly. The only time it makes a difference is if someone is intentionally manipulating to get host, which probably happens, but, you know, that's the name of the game.
Yeah.
But if you aren't the connection host, they will appear to be open. I will occasionally do this trick if you're winning by a lot or being modded. Good way to combat modding. Otherwise, I just like to play. So,
yeah.
I love Falcon. You're a good guy.
Yeah. So that's another one of the mess ups on the transporter on this on this particular map is that it can be manipulated in that way. You can basically disable it for the next round. So that's something to keep in mind. But then again, it's like he says, it's kind of cheap.
Yeah.
So probably don't want to do it unless you're getting somebody's playing cheap against you, in which case
Yeah. It's
like all's fair in love and war.
Speaking of which, I'll slide something in here. I was playing a game of I think it was team training Slayer on Ivory Tower. See, I don't remember any of the names of the levels. I'm terrible at this. Anyways, we were destroying this other team. I had about 22 kills, and we were only at maybe 30 for the team. Now, I don't always do that, but these guys were obviously ranked significantly below us. And one of my guys super jumps up to the top of the tower and starts sniping. I'm like, dude, we are beating these people by 30 kills, and you're super jumping. So I shot him down with a rocket and betrayed him.
Nice.
He wasn't happy.
Well, he deserves it, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand, you know, if it's close. If we were destroying these people, it just wasn't polite.
Yeah.
So,
there's a level of politeness that you try to stick to in this game.
In life, generally.
Yeah, the rest of life you can do whatever you want, but this game,
yeah.
No. Okay, so G.A. Lewis says, even though most will not agree, the teleporter can be used as an advantage for the defensive team in flag and assault game types. Once you spawn to the map, coordinate one of your teammates to take the ghost and head for the rockets. Once the rockets are in hand, have that guy go back into the ghost and make his way for the teleporter. Open up the teleporter and have him sit on the inside room as the offensive team will try to use the teleporter as a quicker route to the defensive base. Also have the rocket launcher guy hold either a battle rifle or carbine, and he can go between the two teleport points and cause havoc on both sides of the map. And this also, he mentions, it works well in Slayer matches, especially in snipers, to switch between the two teleport points to avoid enemy fire. By doing this, you basically control both ends of the map. And he also mentions in both Assault and Flag variants, the teleporter is a good way to lure enemies, but it usually doesn't work for very long as the opposing team will catch on.
At the tail end of G.A. Lewis's tips for us, he mentions that snipers can be very overrated on this map. I happen to agree with this. Most people fear and worry about them too much, but a couple of well-placed rounds with the battle rifle can easily take out a sniper. I can't, you know, count how many times I've destroyed a bad sniper with a battle rifle. So,
yeah, no kidding.
There you go. They're not, of course, a weapon is only as good as the person who's holding it, so don't be too scared. But if you walk out there and it's an instant headshot, take cover next time.
Definitely. On to RizKid543. I guess he's the 543rd RizKid because the first 542 were taken.
That's a lot of RizKids.
It is. It is. Everyone I know is named RizKid, I think.
I know. Mostly my family, but a few people I know.
Yeah, that's my mother's name. Anyway.
RizKid Jive.
RizKid says the giant construct and relic makes for a formidable base in one flag CTF. In fact, that's what Relic was designed for. The geometry of the map changes with the game type. In one flag CTF, the ramps on the side of the Relic compound are removed, and teams will funnel through the teleporter instead, or use the Warthog, or just creep up along the beaches and get into the base. The flag, he mentions, is located at the top, of course, of the Relic compound, and can be grabbed and tossed down easily to a waiting Warthog, which is definitely a good tactic to use. Take notice of the lengthy 2-minute respawn time on the rocket launcher on Relic, and when a team controls a rocket launcher and a vehicle, the opposition will be in for a rough attempt. The Ghost can be used to quickly grab the beam rifle as well near the lift tower, and sniping from the lift tower seems like a good idea, but really it's a pretty predictable location to snipe from, and sniper fire on the way back is inevitable. When defending the flag, the opposition will have to make a long walk up to the Relic construct and get to the flag. If you're aware of where the attacking team's sniper rifle is, placing the beam rifle up in the Relic construct near the flag, covering the entire base, will give the defending team an advantage. So some of the things he sends in, and there's a lot more, but limited on time. So we might do one or two more of these and get right on to some custom games.
Definitely. Gemini Ace comes to us with, on defense of a CTF or bomb game, get the Ghost and drive it up to the base. Park yourself under the arch right before you get to the flag and look backwards toward the rear of the base. If you are directly under the arch, for some reason the arch disappears, and you have an unobstructed view of the other team approaching, then just sit there and call out where you see the other team coming from and let your guys take them out. Well, that certainly seems to be exploiting a bug, but if everyone can do it,
yeah, I guess so.
Try that out in a custom game first before you do it to yourself in a matchmaking game, but
yeah.
So there you go. That's an interesting one.
Well, cover one more here. See, Zygni, XYGNI, writes in, I don't think that's going to score in Scrabble.
No, that's
I think that's beyond the rules. He says, if a few enemies are in the Covenant Sniper Tower, get the rockets and shoot two at the tower, apart from a point where you're facing the water. If the blast doesn't kill them all the sniper tower will usually fall off the lift and launch the rest of them into the water. That'd be pretty cool.
Wow, I didn't even know that. So you can just destroy it then.
Yeah, you can knock it right off the lift, and this also prevents them from getting back into the tower, of course. The only thing with that is that it creates this unusual sniping spot where you can actually jump on top of that lift, the transporter thing that's going up and down.
Yeah.
And if you jump into that, you'll actually be floating up and down, actually moving up and down, and you can snipe from that spot. But, of course, you know, if someone can get a trained eye on you, then if they're a decent sniper, they can take you out, and you're moving up and down, like, saying, look at me, here I am.
Yeah.
But it's kind of fun to mess around with on custom games anyway, knock out that sniper tower, and just run into the warp zone there and float up and down for a little bit. Pretty weird.
That's awesome. I didn't know that at all.
Yeah.
See, I learned something today.
Well, good. Class is over.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on to some custom games. We've got plenty of those to cover as well.
You had a custom game you wanted to talk about, right?
It's the custom game type of the week.
And guys, we have so much. I mean, I'm skipping through, what, 3 or 4 pages at least of more stuff that we have sent in here?
We wish we could have said everything, but I'm still turning pages to find my way to the custom games. So that's a spectacular response.
Yeah, thanks for sending those in. And, you know, keep sending stuff in. We just can't get to everyone, but, you know, keep sending them in anyway. We may get to your stuff.
I can safely say that if we had read everything that that our listeners provided, it would be at least a 3.5-hour podcast.
I'll bet you're right. I wouldn't doubt it.
So
we probably would have doubled the time already spent in the Map of the Week section.
Exactly.
Okay, so first custom game we got here. Let's see, it comes from Dutucci, and he calls it Rocket Man. The main point isn't to kill, but to do some flips with the warthogs. And this looks pretty cool. Basically, you just get warthogs, rockets, and overshield, and one person needs to drive while the party leader or connection host or whatever rides in the passenger seat. The driver drives off a hill or ramp, and the passenger has to shoot a rocket at the side of the hog while he's going off the jump. While they're going off the jump. And the idea is to get as many flips as possible, and his record stands at 6 flips. So see if you can break that record.
Wow, that's impressive.
It's good on Coagulation, Relic, and Headlong, but it works on any map with a couple good jumps. So sounds kind of fun.
Yeah, really. Okay, the next one we have coming is Texas Hold'em by Sergeant Coco. Now, what this is a modified King of the Hill game, and here's what you need. It's one round. Score to win is 3 minutes. Respawn time, 3 seconds. That's kind of fun. Turn off the hill moving, because it's going to be, I guess that ties into the Hold'em aspect of the game. Put the shields at normal, motion tracker on, teams on, friendly fire on, uncontested hill on. Starting weapons are the shotgun. You get your starting grenades. Only shotguns on the map. The weapon respawn is double time. I don't think it's really going to matter since you start with a shotgun. Grenades on the map, overshield off, and active camo off. He gives some advice to not play this game with less than 12 people. And when you do get around 12 people, don't do teams of 6. Instead, do smaller teams like teams of 3. This is a crazy game, best played on Lockout or Ascension.
So it's basically like a shotgun hill game.
Exactly. I think it'll actually be more fun than it sounds. If that makes any sense.
A few more fun than it sounds. No, that's kind of like 1,000 Bodies, that one where it's just shotgun King of the Hill.
Yeah.
So that definitely, that's a pretty fun game time. It's very chaotic, especially with the 3-second respawn and moving hill off. It's just, there's bodies laying all over the place and shotguns all over the ground, and it's madness.
Sounds like fun.
Definitely. Got one called Joust from Manikese, or however the hell you pronounce that.
Yeah, that's a new one on me.
Is that French? Anyway.
Oui, oui.
Manikese. Manikese. He talks about this type called Joust. I tried this the other day, had some problems with it, but he mentions that it's a. It's basically you have Jeeps on either Headlong, Coagulation, Containment, or Waterworks. It's a Slayer game with no shields, extra damage. Weapons on the map are snipers. Primary weapons, human sniper. Secondary weapons, shotgun. I don't know how that comes into play, but 25 points to win. Vehicles on the map, lots of warthogs. The idea is that 2 people per team, so at least 3 teams, he mentions, no beatdowns, and you can only fire a weapon when you're on the passenger side of the warthog. So the joust is you're running right towards each other with the warthogs, trying to fire at each other with the passenger person with a sniper or a shotgun.
That could be interesting. I think it would take some practice, but
I tried it. I had a lot of trouble with it. I think probably because I was trying to play it like traditional joust, as in running towards each other and firing the sniper, and nobody could get even one kill. But maybe if you just kind of run around and make it the fire out of the passenger seat game, then it would be kind of much better.
And as with these kind of games, follow the rules or leave the room, because it ruins it for everyone. It takes one person, and then everyone else starts. It's not fun.
No kidding. How many games have I had like that over the past 2 weeks, man?
And exactly. And here's something else too. I'll add in. Don't rip someone apart because they don't know the rules to a game. You know, someone might not know what zombie is. You know, for some reason. And if they don't ask, they're gonna go into the game and do the wrong thing, and it'll ruin the game. So don't rip someone apart because they don't know.
And probably the worst thing is when someone's trying to explain the game. Don't be a smartass and interrupt them. Come on. Just let them freaking talk. You know, especially when it's a long description like Frogger or some of these other ones.
Exactly. You know? I remember playing Frogger with Mr. Fumo Jive, and it took him a good 10 minutes to explain it to me because people would not shut up.
Everybody's like trying to interrupt me and everything. Anyway, be nice.
Yeah.
Covers a lot of things.
Big time. Okay, next we have a game from Halo2Customs.com. It's called Resident Evil. Now, there's a good game. Gotta love it. Okay, when you think of Resident Evil, you most likely think of the endless horde of zombies that come down at you from all different angles. Whew, that sounds like my Saturday mornings at the mall. Okay, this is exactly like that. Well, almost.
Spend every Saturday morning at the mall?
That's where I work.
Oh, okay. I refill
ink.
I thought you just like
hung
out at the mall every Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Like Saturday morning, time to run to the mall. Yeah.
Yeah. All the old people come up for their walks and stuff. It's...
That's where all my friends are, man. Hang out at the mall on Saturday mornings. What's up, guys?
What's up, Cornelius? How's that hip treating you? Oh, jeez.
Here we go.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, I don't even know where I am. Okay, this is exactly like that. Well, almost. This game is mostly like Dawn of the Dead, except holding out for 15 minutes. Yeah, 15 minutes to detonate a bomb inside the zombie stronghold. I like where this is going. As always, you start out with 1 to 3 players as zombies and the rest as humans. If you're red and die by a green, you switch over to green. Standard zombie rules. Zanzibar works with any number of players. If you have at least 4 to 9 players, you should stick with Zanzibar and Foundation. While if you have 10 to 16 players, you should go to Headlong for a Royal Rumble. Remember, reds can only use magnums and shotguns, while zombies are stuck with energy swords.
Sounds cool. So basically it's a zombie game with an assault element thrown into the mix.
Exactly.
Sounds cool.
And you have a lot of time. It's a very long game. 15 minutes. It sounds like it would be very hard.
It does sound hard, actually, because, you know, their team's changing over and their team's growing the whole time, so it sounds pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Want to mention one called Prisoner Escape, also known as Crossing the Border by some people, from Three Thumbs, and this is based on a Slayer game. The way this works is you can basically just play it with team snipers, it looks like, and just, you know, make two teams, blue team, red team. The blue team gets inside the base with the gate. When the timer gets, you set it to 10 minutes, and then when the timer gets to 9 minutes, you open the gate, and everyone has to walk out of the gate and try to get to the C. When the other team, while the other team tries to snipe the blue team. So this, he mentions a tip for the game, is this has everything to do with teamwork. So you're running out towards the C, the guys are sniping you as they're preventing you from crossing the border. So, kind of cool.
Okay, this next one is May Leeball from GANAI.com. I'm not quite sure how to say it, but I'm sure it's a wonderful site.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, actually. It's just this dude's blog. I think I mentioned it last time. It's this guy's blog that he put a couple custom games in, and so many people put custom games in the comments that it's just got tons of custom games on there. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, it wasn't really designed for that, but it ends up having tons. Good stuff.
Excellent. This is a very fun mode to play and can get really crazy. The objective here is to make it as easy as possible to make a ball carrier get a one-hit melee kill, and to make it as hard as possible for someone to shoot or grenade another person. Make sure that everyone is meleeing only so this does not turn into a game of oddball. Again, big thing, follow the rules. And he gives us the layout. The mode is oddball, 3 oddballs. Kill limit is 15, recommended players 4 to 16, so even if you only have a few people around, you can make a fun game out of this. Maps in order, Lockout, Foundation, Ivory Tower, and Midship. Time to win is 1 minute. Here's some other settings. Oddball Carrier has massive damage. Oddball Carrier is set to run faster than normal. Extra damage, no shields, primary weapon plasma pistol, secondary weapon plasma pistol, no weapons on the map, no respawning weapons, and no grenades.
You might also try that with damage resistance on instead of extra damage, because
yes.
Because that way the actual bullets from the plasma pistol don't do much damage anyway, so it's just kind of pointless to use them. So that might be another variant on that.
Yeah, no, that sounds great. And he adds in a little note at the bottom. You could even make it so that there are only three players. Each player has only one life, and that would make things quite hectic and intense.
Cool. Well, we've got a couple more of them for you guys. Thanks to the people that send these in and some other stuff. Okay, I got one called Michael Jackson from Gennai.com. It's kind of rough on Michael Jackson, but it looks hilarious.
It's funny.
The juggernaut is Michael, and everyone else is a kid. The children have to hide from Michael, who has to go around singing, "Ow!" and "Jamon!" The last guy gets to kill and sue Michael. So this is a Slayer game, guys. The primary weapon is the Magnum, secondary is Covenant Energy Sword. Map is played on Lockout, and pretty much everything else is pretty default. We'll put details in the show notes.
Sure thing. And one thing to note, if you are not using Michael Jackson catchphrases every time you kill someone, you are booted from the game.
That's right.
Just the way it is, I'm sorry.
Come on.
Exactly. I don't make the rules.
Woo! Anyway. Oh, man. Okay, so what's next so we can get away from Michael?
Yes, Michael is a wonderful man, I'm sure, but doesn't have the best reputation. Okay, I'm seeing one here called Warthog Wars, one of the games I happen to like, any variant of kind of a Hog Wars thing. This game type forces you to really use the Warthogs because the shotguns, needlers, plasma pistols can't do anything from far away. So you're either going to have to get really close to the enemy, Warthog, or get a new Warthog. This game is different from Hagenbogen, because the emphasis here is to use the Warthog guns, not just ram the people. It's a blast.
For those of you that have any idea what Hagenbogen is...
Yeah, I have no clue what that is.
But it's different from...
I play a game called Hog Wars a lot, and we use the guns, and we ram each other. And
that sounds more fun, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there you go. And we will post the details in the show notes.
That we will. And one more for you. We have Four Flags from Gennai.com. It's played on Foundation with battle rifles. Get as many even teams of players as you can. 16 players in four groups of four is the best. Have the only weapon to be the battle rifle, and you can turn shields on or off. He mentions that he likes them off. Put on, when you touch the flag, it responds. It's really fun if you have a lot of people. So you're able to set up a four flag, capture the flag game that way. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So, seems pretty cool. I've never played capture the flag with more than two flags, so it sounds pretty neat.
No. Yeah, so can you move any flag to any other base, or how does it...
I don't know. I haven't played it. I'm going to have to try it out and see how the heck that works, because I would think that, I don't know, maybe you can just grab any flag. I'm not sure. It's weird. But it sounds
interesting. Except for your own, I guess. But, yeah, no, certainly.
Okay, well, I think that about wraps up our custom games for the week.
Certainly does.
So I'm sure, guys, we followed through on our promise of having a lot of information for you this week. Lots of stuff for you to mull over and try out. So
Big time.
Hope this helps out.
Certainly. And just so nobody forgets, when I'm back, so is the rant.
This will be good. Everybody loves the Destus rants, man.
Oh, I hope so. I work so hard on them. So without further ado... Live and unrehearsed. Okay, here we go. It's time again for your Podtacular rant featuring Decidus. This week's topic, modders on Xbox Live. You signed into Live for the first game of the night. Jumped in for a little bit of Team Slayer action. Your party's assembled and waiting for the countdown to end when you notice the blue team's party leader has named himself iMod for Life 069. Well, he must be kidding, because you can't mod matchmaking anymore. Oh, those silly people and their crazy names. As your game begins on Sanctuary, of all places, come to think of it, how odd that these people with mod in their names end up playing there every time. Again, probably a coincidence. So, about 35 seconds into the game, shortly after your 37th death, you start asking your teammates, how can I jump 200 feet in the air and get one-shot kills? Guess what? You have been modded. Now before you go steal your mom's credit card and get your very own mod chip, let's take a minute to understand these clowns. Modders are a lower form of life. They've dedicated their online experience to ruining it for others. Such a noble cause. Right up there with hurting an animal and kicking another man in the crotch.
Ouch.
That's gotta hurt. On one occasion, I asked a modder after a game, why do you do this? To which he responded, because it's fun. How can I argue with that? I guess I'm just too old school for considering fair play to be fun. If you can't win, cheat. Blame the parents? No. Blame the teachers? No. I think you're going to have to look a little higher up in the ladder to discover how this mentality has become acceptable. But as always, this is just my opinion. Until next week, this has been your Podtacular Rant.
Awesome.
Here we go.
I love the Destinus Rant. Keep it coming, man.
I will do my best.
Good stuff.
Sorry I missed it last week, but I was working and couldn't do a thing, and I was stuck for ideas. Oh, also, a side note, if anybody has any ideas for rant topics, I don't need the whole thing. I can write that, but just, you know, a small, simple idea can go a long way on allowing me to formulate some, you know, hilarious digs at things you guys hate. So,
yeah.
Send them my way.
Send them on in. And looks like our next thing to cover is the voicemails. So let's play a few of those, shall we? Some of the stuff people sent in. Here we go.
Yo, what's up, Sumo Jive and Spellcheck? I'm leaving a tip for a relic. I found out the best thing to do to own on the map like crazy is run to the nearest sniper rifle and cover the second sniper rifle. So if you're in the sniper rifle with the lift, make sure the sniper rifle by the dropship. Make sure you take everybody out around it, and from your high vantage point, you can see everybody. So rockets are not a problem. Anyone close, you know, not too bad. Drop some grenades and take them out. Yeah, and I guess that's my tip for Relic. Hope you guys get into the podcast. My gamer tag is Greatcake. And, yeah, I'm level 20. Hope to join your guys' clan pretty soon. Have a good day. Thanks. Bye.
Hey, Fumo Jive and Spellcheck, this is Daniel Goodman, also known as Daniel251. I got some good tips for Relic. That little sniper tower with the Covenant sniper behind it, really not a good place to snipe from. You're totally in the open, and anybody with a battle rifle or any other sniper rifle can really hit you. The real way to go if you want to snipe is to take the human sniper, which is right behind the Pelican. Like, when you start out, if you're on, I think you're on red team, or blue team, if you go to the left of the Pelican and up that little hill, the human sniper is leaning on the wall to the right. You should see it. It's on a hill. It's visible. You can take it. Also, if you want to hide with, like, the bomb or the flag or something, you don't want to get shot immediately, if you jump on the middle divider on the top, right near where the bomb plant place is a really good place to hide. It's, no one can see you, and you can plant the bomb right there, right outside the circle, and nobody will notice. I hate to seem like in favor of the sniper rifle, but it really does control the map on this level. If you have two people, or even just one person that's really good with the sniper, I highly suggest letting them use either the human or the alien, and just parking them somewhere, not necessarily in the sniper tower, but somewhere around it, maybe somewhere like right below it so that they're not totally visible, is actually a really good idea, because like, even for guarding the base, if they stand over by where the Pelican is, they can see someone arming the bomb and just take them out. So, and that's a problem with this map. It's kind of open, but they do have a sniper on it. So it's like there's not a lot of places to hide. And, like, this map is really, really hard for a game like Team Snipers because everybody can see everybody at all times. So, yeah, that's all I got to say. Love the show. I'm out. Later.
It's a good song, guys. It's a good, good song. It seems made by rendition of it. It's called When Our Friends Become Successful. Ha ha. Oh, we hate it when our friends become successful. Oh, we hate it when our friends become successful. And it is no doubt it's worth it. We will destroy them. If it's alive, we will destroy them. Oh, I'm digging an ass to myself now. Good day, goodbye. Oh, my gamer tag is feel the awesomeness in your pants. I'm just kidding. This is Spellcheck. I'm gonna go back to a little hole where I'm gonna cry. See you guys next week. I'm gone this week. So, alright. Sorry, Pooh. Computer's broke, did it? Okay, bye.
Hello, friends. Gamertag Halcyon Heron here. For your listening pleasure, today I have created Impressions of Arnold by The Grunt. You asked for it, Spellcheck. From Total Recall. No, stop. You're blowing my cover.
No, stop. You're blowing my cover.
Classics from The Terminator. Get down.
Get down.
Do it. Do it now.
Do it. Do it now.
And of course, Hasta la vista, baby.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Well, friends, that's all for now. Thanks for joining me. Remember, this is Gamertag Halcyon Heron. H-E-R-E-N.
Who is your daddy, and what does he do?
No, come on, Grunty. That's enough. We're done now. Hey, put that down.
And that was our voicemails.
Hope you guys enjoyed them. Great voicemails. I don't understand how you do it.
Well, thanks for sending those in, guys. We appreciate it. And as always, you can call in with your segments, tips, custom games, all kinds of stuff over to 206-888-HALO, which is our voicemail line, and not our cell phone numbers.
Not a cell phone.
But leave your information. Just do not leave your life story.
Well, you can, but it's not going to be on the show.
Definitely not. And probably don't want to bother saying, hello, pick up the phone if you're there. Hello, because we're not there.
Nope.
Also, even better than the voicemail, if you have a mic, just send us an MP3. Because that would be, you know, that would definitely be solid, and it would be a lot better sound quality than the voicemail.
Exactly, and it'll help tie everything in. Even if you only have a cheap mic, it's going to be 10 times better than anything that's coming over a voicemail.
Definitely. So we have some shout-outs here. Shout-outs to Mendoza68. Shout-out to FRum117. By the way, you owe me $10 out of that 20, man. Spellcheck, of course, who is not here today, unfortunately, because his computer is under the weather.
In absentia.
And we really appreciate Decidus joining in for this round, guys. And, yeah, so thanks, Decidus.
Anytime.
You rule, man. Also want to shout out to Freak in a Box, a.k.a. Dragon Breath 900. 900 Dragon Breath. Maybe 900 degrees? Yeah. I don't know.
900 people. Bye. Who knows?
Major Pain 0628, because the 0627 and below were already taken, apparently.
Yep. Must be.
And all of us Mac users. Speaking of which, both the co-hosts are on Macs right now, so ha-ha to all you.
And it only took us 2 hours to set up the podcast instead of, you know, at least 8 hours for someone on PC.
Yes. So get your digs in while you can.
Yes. Mac is better. Don't even try. Hey, Fumo, have you ever had a virus in your Mac?
I have not, as a matter of fact.
Have you ever had spyware on your Mac?
No. Funny you should
mention that. Isn't it strange?
Interesting how that works. Anyway, of course, like two-thirds of our listeners now are like, you guys suck.
Probably. Whatever. We're getting the hate mail.
Whatever. So speaking of hate mail, send all your hate mail into podtacular@gmail.com.
Yeah.
We'd love to throw it away.
There's nothing more satisfying than emptying your trash of hate mail.
But send in your tips, strategies, game types, segments, and web resources to that email. And be sure to send us in your gamer tag, too, because we may put it on the show.
certainly will.
That's where a lot of the stuff comes from.
Okay, next up we got some big thanks going out to Jesus.
Big thanks to Jesus, by the way, for letting us be here.
Yeah. Jesus, good fella.
Good guy.
Good
thumbs
fella.
Up.
Yeah. Okay, big thanks to Gasar, Fool You Ain't Black, Can't Touch This 73, Mason C2K, Archeria, or Arcaria, I'm not quite sure how it goes, and Joe. Gotta love Joe. Also, Only Smoke Zero and Spellcheck for making this show happen.
Yes, and the mysterious Xbox Live tip tester that I was talking about is the one and only Smoke Zero. So that's the man that I was going to play a big fanfare for this week because I kept forgetting his name.
He deserves it.
Yeah, definitely. We also want to mention we appreciate our staff, guys. We have a lot of staff that both work on this show, on making the show happen, and also on the staff things and emails and all kinds of crazy stuff. So just to all the staff, a big thanks at podtacular.com. Scotty Sewell, as a matter of fact, is setting up a tournament coming up here. He's the one setting up that whole thing in the forums. So go to the forums, by the way, to find them. Go to podtacular.com, click on the link on the right side that says forums, and make sure that there's a thing that says join. And if you're all set up with the linking your gamer tag and all that jazz, then you can just click join and you're in the forums. So go there, check out the details about the tournament, and sign up, even if you're not like a super competitive player. And it's going to be a good time, man.
Definitely, definitely. And it's also good to note that, you know, all of the staff members who do things on the show, and every time I'm talking to one of them, I learn of like four other people who are putting in, you know, lots of time that they'll never get rewarded for, are definitely the unsung heroes of Podtacular. So mad props to those guys.
No doubt. So salute to you guys. And I think that's it, man. I think we are out of here with this.
Yes, yes. One more down and many more to go.
That's right. We're going to be here a long time and another show under wraps. So check out the show notes. They're going to be coming out soon. So we have show notes coming out soon. So check those out, guys. And we also have some really cool illustrations that Gasar does for our show notes, so you can actually see what we're talking about if the audio doesn't explain it very well. So good stuff there. And Fool You Ain't Black, of course, writes the show notes. Mason C2K edits them up so the HTML is all pretty and it shows up real good on the website. So big props to those guys. Thank you very much. And
all right, I guess I'll add a little something in. You know, thanks for having me on the show. I've had a great time. You know, I have a newfound respect for the amount of work that you and Spellcheck have to put in.
Well, thanks, man, and thanks for being here. And we will see you guys next week. Keep on trucking, keep on fragging.
Peace out.
Haters.